I loved it when Randy said, it's the greatest show on earth. I mean, it's just so true. If we could just realize that this one package, it just has so much to teach us. And we're on this journey to find out about it. You know, it takes a lot of courage to sit down and look at yourself. And I've got something on my board. Can you hear me? So,
yeah.
Having been taught for many years, well, by some really great teachers, I found that lots of times their profound teachings didn't come to me at the time that they were teaching them. It was later. They just would show up later. And I would say, oh, so that's what she meant. Oh, that is what he meant. In the Tibetan tradition, one can take a vow to be a bodhicitta. And a bodhicitta has the mind that is aimed at awakening with wisdom and compassion, but with one more thing, for the benefit of all sentient beings. Now, I took that vow several years ago because I trusted the teacher. I knew him. I knew his heart. But I'm just now realizing what this vow brings. If we are truly connected, then I have an impact on everything, everyone. How could that not be? And so what do I give all beings through this lifetime, through this one entity? And again, the teachings move us to our hearts for our own suffering, only to remind us it's the suffering of all of us. It's not our suffering. It's only the mind that takes it and puts it in a little box. So we can't disconnect even if we want to. If we knew the truth. So it's important that we know that there is some wise people that have said or are saying that what we say and what we do and what we think is important. Not only for our own welfare, but for all beings. See how all of a sudden the heart makes it bigger? All of a sudden it just connects. And so love connects, suffering connects, but then we come up with hate. It's kind of what we're seeing right now, are we not? So how does hate arise? James Baldwin writes, one of the reasons people cling to their hate and prejudice so stubbornly is that they sense once hate is gone, they will be forced to deal with their own pain. What to do with their pain? And what a marvelous practice that teaches us what to do with our pain. I don't know how people exist without knowing that. So loving awareness, the awareness that we touch, that we enable to open within us, allows us to step outside the praise and blame paradigm. You wouldn't be here otherwise. This would not be a place that you'd want to be, and with the people who you are with. So when we're unconscious, caught in states like judgment, anger, rigidity, compulsion, prejudice, we can act these out because they are truly in all of us. Oh, no, 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 no. I don't have hatred. Is there another word? I don't have hatred. Well, you're just not looking close enough, is what the Buddha says. You're just flat not looking close enough. But can you see how we keep our distance from the things that really are going to teach us their true nature and will have a lot less impact, negative impact? So we love to blame. Randy and I, as you know, been married many years, over 50 years. And I mean, we went through blaming stages for years and years. And not that we still don't blame, but there's so much more wisdom. Even when we're doing it, we know it. We know the truth of blame. We blame our problems on others. So was it hate that killed 10 people at the Tops Friendly Market in Buffalo? Doesn't that break your heart? They were at the Tops Friendly Market in their own neighborhood. So it's probably a good time to look more deeply at our own hatred. We discover that our own insecurity and vulnerability often underline the blame. We blame because we find these states hard to tolerate. Again, we don't know how to relate to them, because we have not been taught the wisdom that all of it, the good, the bad, and the ugly, it's most important to understand all of it. To understand all of it within us. And so it keeps us. It keeps us at bay from ourselves. Because I don't want to see the hate in me. I don't want to admit there's hatred. Now, I know there's degrees of things. But we blame because it's hard for us to see the things within us. Because we're unable to bear our measure of pain. Unable to acknowledge life's insecurities and limitations. We see others to blame. That's all politics is all about. I mean, if you want to say one thing that covers it all under politics, is blame, 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 blame. So Jack Kornfield says we can befriend these things within us that we're scared to touch, we're scared to go to, we're scared to open to. And just because they're in all of us doesn't necessarily mean we're all going to act on them. But we have this misconception about things that we've pushed out of our lives that are very important to know. Jack says, befriend them. Your anger, your hatred, your compulsion, your prejudice. And these emotions are in all of us, and we're learning how to relate to them on a small level, on just one of the connections. We're just one connection. So we don't blame, because that has roots to take us to greater destructive behaviors. It can grow. And the good news about these powerful inner forces that we all have is that we can use awareness to understand and tame them. Hatred is not who we are. Anger is not who we are. All of these emotions are part of being a human being. They come with the whole package. The good, the bad, and the ugly. And so it takes a real shift of perception to start looking for all the things within us. The good, the bad, and the ugly. And it's not easy. So we may mindfully recognize our fear, our anger, and desire, our loneliness. That's how we get to know it. We come to know it. And when we know it in that way, it's workable. We're not so attached to it thinking, oh, it's me. I'm the hatred. No, it's not you. It is you as a human being that comes as a mind and body in this system. But that's not who you really are. And we've all touched that place, that spaciousness of where we are, all of it. So it becomes workable when we open to it, whatever it is. And we don't identify with it. And so if we're lonely, for example, then study it. What is lonely? Ask the question, what is lonely? The Sufi poet Hafez says, don't surrender your loneliness so quickly. Let it cut more deeply. Let it season you as few ingredients can. So we're taking on all of life. If we cannot bear our loneliness, our boredom, our anxiety, we'll always run away. It won't be the greatest show on earth. And yet the possibility is it can be the greatest show on earth. So the moment we feel lonely or bored, we can go to the refrigerator, go online. I love to go online. Do anything to avoid being with ourselves. So we're pushing a part of this form away. But again, with loving kindness, and we've touched that, we can endure, honor, and value loneliness and aloneness. How do we do it? Individually. Each person individually. You go within. We can't do it for each other. We can support and know we're going to follow the same path. But all of this is informative. It can teach us about ourselves. and we can learn enough about ourselves where we can stop the suffering in our longings and what we've neglected for a long, long time. We've neglected ourselves. Maybe not outside, but we sure have neglected inside. We don't know ourselves. Why? Because we don't, it's too scary. We don't know how to go within. So it happens this way. When we face our demons, whether boredom or shame or anger, judgment, jealousy, they lose their power. That's the truth. And we stop believing their story and start seeing them simply as what they are, feelings. We are not our feelings. They are in all of us, and they arise and they fall away. But that's not who we are. That's what we're living with. So believing that our worry and fear are real, it drains us. Vast amounts of energy. Again, Hafez, fear is the cheapest room in the house. I'd like to see you in better living conditions. Greatest show on earth. What are our living conditions? When we're quiet and still, we begin to see. When we're not all about distractions. So if we pause for a moment, we'll see that fear is made of just thoughts. And what are thoughts? Well, thoughts come with being a human being again. It's not who we are. They come and they go. They come and they go. And so we begin to stop believing them. And we have discriminating wisdom that knows how to work with thoughts. So we can step aside and witness all of this as though they're just anxious little children. Oh, here you are, hatred. Oh, here you are, unkindness. Oh, here you are. I can hold you. I can be with you. I recognize you. And something happens when we put ourselves in the middle of truth. Something happens. So just observe very kindly whatever troubled emotions are present. Breathe and let the emotions be. Fear and frustration, anxiety, worry, anger, all that stuff are all natural to human life. That's a big step for us. Not only have we identified with our feelings and our emotions, we let them dictate our lives. And how unfortunate. So the lesson is, turn toward them. RAIN. And we know what RAIN can do. The acronym RAIN. We're constantly throughout our lives, every day, we are recognizing things that we've not recognized before. We're allowing things that are coming up that we have not allowed before. And then we are taking this to our bodies, these things to our bodies, and we are directly experiencing them, the truth of them, which is the only place that it can be experienced as truth. Don't take it to your head. So, Feel how they manifest in your body, in your heart, in your mind. This is your vehicle. With loving awareness, simply acknowledge, oh, hate feels like this. Anger feels like this. Oh, love feels like this. Worry feels like this. On and on and on. Pain feels like this. So already by naming them, we become the mindful witnessing, the loving awareness. So it all sounds so wonderful. So how do we do it? Well, you're doing it. First of all, acknowledge that you are doing it. Sometimes we can be impatient like me. I thought this was going to be a quick trip, Give me a few retreats and then leave me alone. But no, we have to be committed and step into life. And we're already learning how to be happier. We're listening to the teachings. And some of them may not make much sense to you right now. Some of them don't make sense to me either. But I trust them because I've had enough practice where I've done what the teachings say and directly experienced the benefits. So by listening to the teachings, we learn where to look. Otherwise, we could be spinning our wheels. And so we bring the teachings to our meditation practice or throughout the day when all of a sudden the teachings, the truth, comes to us. And we sustain our meditation practice with patience and with a lot of kindness and compassion for ourselves as human beings. Because this is just temporary. We only get this so long. And so we begin to touch what's beyond the mind and the body. We begin to touch what is never born or never dies. You feel it in you, you have. I may be 75 years old, but I still feel like an 8-year-old sometimes. Why? Something within me has always been there. And I touch it. Forget it, then I touch it. Then I forget, then I touch it. So, this is my last words. Build a practice, and the truth will come. Thank you.